new House bill would cut the defense civilian workforce by 15% by 2020. That's roughly 120,000 people. Now, the Republican sponsors are not the only ones to suggest the Defense Department is too big, but with jobs in nearly every district at stake, it's a thorny issue to broach. For more, we turn to Jeremy Herb. He covers defense issues for The Hill. Jeremy, good morning.
Good morning.
So, first of all, tell us about this bill. It comes from Ken Calvert, a California Republican. What is he trying to achieve with it?
So this bill from Congressman Calvert would cut the civilian workforce, as you said, by 15% over 6 years. And the idea would be to take the savings from that to put it back into the active duty force that is facing a cut. The Army is going to go down to between 440,000 and 450,000 soldiers. If sequester is reversed, the Marines would be dropping 282,000. And so his idea is that the civilian workforce can be shrunk in order to save the number of active duty soldiers and Marines.
So this would be a one-to-one substitution type of deal?
No, I don't know that it would be one-to-one because, you know, in a lot of cases, the cost of a civilian worker is not the same as the cost of a of a service member. But the idea is that all the money that is saved from reducing the civilian workforce would go back into the military and not into other federal departments.
Yeah, civilians don't get M16s, I guess, when they sign up. But how did he come up with the number 120,000 or 15%? I mean, why not 16% or 14.7.
I'm not sure exactly why they said on 15. You know, this is something that we have seen before, this idea of cutting the civilian workforce. If you back in 2012, when Republicans were trying to fight the sequester, Senator John McCain, House Armed Services Chairman Buck McKeon, they suggested that they should cut the civilian workforce. I believe it was 10% in order to save the first year of sequester, and they did that. You know, I think that one was through over 10 years and through attrition and not requiring any layoffs or anything. But, you know, so this has been an idea that's been out there, particularly on the Republican side before. And in the past, you know, it didn't go anywhere. This idea of cutting civilian workforce directly did not go anywhere. It is worth remembering that civilians were targeted in the sequester last year. You know, the entire civilian workforce for DOD was furloughed. And so it's, you know, they're not exactly, you know, they've been hurting too.
And I think that's a really interesting point to bring up, though, because when we talk about the greater DOD budget, for example, what the Pentagon has proposed for fiscal 2015, a lot of people say, yeah, but, you know, Congress isn't going to go ahead with any of the tough choices because everyone has a military base or some other sort of military facility in their district. But why then does it seem like this idea about cutting civilian DOD personnel keeps cropping up?
Well, you know, I think it's politically it's easier to say, you know, we're going to cut the number of civilian workers or federal workers than it would be to say, you know, we're going to cut the number of troops. It's also worth noting that the Pentagon's 2015 budget proposal does include a cut for civilian workers, but that cut is only about 6,300 civilian workers, and so that is 1% as opposed to, you know, getting on this path of 15% that's proposed in this Republican bill.
And what about who would be cut? In other words, the Republican bill seems to say just across the board 15%, but in the 6,300 that are proposed by the department, do they say where those cuts would come?
I believe the department's cuts, they'd be spread out somewhat. The majority of them are in the Army. You know, there are also some in the Air Force and some Defense Department-wide. You know, with a cut like that, it, I think it's mostly looking at attrition as opposed to trying to really reduce people in some areas. Although, one thing that's worth noting is Secretary Hagel has said he wants to cut his own staff by 20%, and also the staff, you know, of the joint staff and of services. But those cuts aren't necessarily just civilians. You know, it's cuts, you know, to both his military staff and his civilian staff.
And do you know how many that would be?
No, sorry, I don't have a 20. I know it's 20% is the number he's looking at, and that proposal would save $1 billion. I'm not entirely sure how many people that amounts to.
We're speaking with Jeremy Herb. He's a staff writer for The Hill newspaper. Tell us a little bit about the sponsors of this bill, it's almost a misnomer to say that it's a House Republican bill because it's not one that's sponsored by the leadership necessarily. But are these sponsors people who are active in, say, the Armed Services Committee or have been active in the other DOD budget issues recently?
It's got six sponsors. Among them, Kay Granger is a member of the House Appropriations Defense Subcommittee. Tom Cotton is not on the committee, but he, as a freshman, has been outspoken on military issues and is running for Senate, which is also worth noting. And then Daryl Issa, who's the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, is also one of the co-sponsors. So, I think it's Republicans who, like to talk about cutting the federal government. They like to say, we're trying to shrink the size of government. And in this case, they're perfectly okay with that, including the Pentagon.
And why don't we ask you this, too, while we've got you today, Jeremy, is, of course, the 2015 appropriations request from the White House has touched off a debate on the Hill about the size of the military. Are there any other legislative gambits going on that you've seen even just being discussed in committee that could also address the future of the military?
Well, one of the interesting things, and it ties particularly to this idea of how many civilians we should have, is just base closures, which the Pentagon once again did include in its 2015 budget, and which we've already heard some skepticism of in the Armed Services and Appropriations hearings we've had so far. Secretary Hagel, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs Martin Dempsey, they've been on the Hill, and they've been trying to say we have to do this. We have 20% more infrastructure than we need, and we're planning to cut, the number of service members and civilians. But it doesn't look like Congress is going to go along and actually allow them to cut bases, which, could lead to having too many bases and not enough people to fill them.
So that means that they would have to pass bills preventing it. Otherwise, the Pentagon could go ahead with it?
Well, so the way it's worked in the past is that the Congress has appointed or passed a bill to allow a commission, the Base Realignment and Closure Commission, to go through the process of choosing which bases to be closed, because Congress doesn't want to have to choose itself which bases will be closed. In each of the past few defense authorizations bills, there has been language specifically barring the Pentagon from being able to plan for base closures, let alone close them. And so I think you're going to keep seeing that restriction in there until Congress is kind of finally convinced that they do actually need to close bases.
And with, say, and I don't know if this is accurate, but the Pentagon proposing cutting 6,300 civilian jobs, and then on the other end, this new bill proposing cutting roughly 120,000, do you think that lawmakers will seriously consider cutting some defense civilian jobs in between 6,300 and 120,000?
It'll be interesting to see how they handle that. I don't think that this bill has too much political legs. We've seen it before with sequester, and it did not go, the idea of specifically cutting civilians did not go anywhere. But, I do think there are lots of cuts the Pentagon proposed that Congress is going to reverse, and they have to find the money to replace them somewhere in order to stay under the budget caps that were agreed to in the last December deal. So their cuts are going to have to come from somewhere, and I do think civilians, could be targeted, particularly when you look at the efforts that Secretary Hagel has already made to reduce his own staff. So I can't put a number on it, but I think that's definitely something to look out for as Congress prepares its authorization and appropriations bills.
And since you cover defense issues generally, what else? I mean, what do you see ahead for some of the platforms and acquisition programs what's likely to survive? What's likely to actually survive being cut, if you will, or what cuts are likely to survive as we head toward 2015? There's been an awful lot of hearings on defense budgets, that's for sure.
There have been, yeah. And, the Pentagon has proposed retiring some platforms that are going to face pushback in Congress, particularly, the one to look out for the most is the A-10, the Warthog, which has been, been around for a long time. And the Pentagon says it's a single mission plane and they just can't afford to keep it when other planes can also do that mission. But there's been a lot of pushback in Congress from lawmakers who say they're skeptical that other planes are going to be able to do the mission as well as the A-10. You're hearing it from Senator Kelly Ayotte, New Hampshire, Congressman Ron Barber of Arizona, who has a big A-10 base in his district. So I think that's going to be one of the biggest fights. Ground combat vehicle, the Army's new platform, is also canceled in the new budget, but that looks like, it's going to stay canceled. And then, you know, Congress has cheered one of the changes that was made, keep the Global Hawk drone over the U-2 plane. The Pentagon, in the last budget, had proposed cutting the Global Hawk to keep the U-2, and Congress stopped them, and now they've switched, and they're going to keep the Global Hawk instead.
And all those things affect bases, too, then, right? And also the civilian and military staff that support them, aside from the troops that fly them or drive them, correct?
That's absolutely right. You know, and you lose planes, and you know that your base, if they're not replaced with something, then yeah, you run the risk of losing personnel from that base. And I think that, you know, in a lot of cases, that is what's driving the fight to keep key platforms like the A-10. You know, that's, you know, I mentioned Congressman Barber earlier. It is definitely something that he's concerned about at the base he's got in Arizona, because it's not clear, you know, if they lost the A-10s, what would replace them at that base, and that's a major part of the base.
And just returning to that personnel bill for a minute, you know, the American Federation of Government Employees, which represents a lot of the civilian workers who could be affected, is saying that, you know, if this bill should go forward, then DOD is going to have to find that labor elsewhere. They're going to look for contractors. Have you seen a lot of contractors lobbying on the Hill with all the budget talks going on?
I don't know if contractors have been lobbying to replace civilian jobs that I've seen. You know, obviously, contractors are, you know, have plenty to lobby about with the platforms. You know, that argument of is always interesting about whether, you know, contractors can do a job more cheaply than civilians. I think we see the argument that suggests that that's not the case. And so I don't know that you're going to see people actually, you know, trying to push for civilian cuts, you know, to get them replaced with contractors. But that certainly is an alternative that DOD is going to probably look at if they do have to cut their workforce.
And as the military ranks shrink on the other side of the equation, what does that do, do you think, or what are you hearing about what that will do to the effort to put more women in not just combat roles, but in also higher officer positions?
You know, I don't know that I've heard that it specifically could affect that, but it will be interesting, you know, if the services do have to involuntarily separating people, as they've indicated they will, particularly if they have to cut at sequestration levels, which would cut another 20,000 Army soldiers and another about 7,000 Marines. If it does come to that involuntary separation, you know, I don't know whether gender formally would be part of it, but, you know, I think there has been a push. You know, the services are opening combat roles up to women. You know, obviously they, you know, they like having women in the services. And so it's something I think that's worth tracking to see, you know, how that's affected.